Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Despite the vine creature's enormous stature, between Lark's door closing and Sully's shotgun, the eldritch being was quickly dispatched. Mostly free to scavenge the burrow now, the group returned from its depths with seeds, a magical book, and various other trinkets. When we left our people last, though, Lark had spotted two people, one of which shot at our Aster. Assassins, or simply a bold opening negotiation tactic? I guess you're about to find out. This is The Sprouting. On the Meeting of Souls, Part 4. A gunshot just rang out. Aster jumps to one side. What do the rest of you want to do?
Were there any car wreckages or anything else that would be possible to, like, shield us from fire?
Yeah, absolutely. In this kind of like we would call it a parking lot outside the facility. Mm-hmm. There are, like, definitely some, like, broken down cars that have been, like, left behind. So you could definitely find some sort of shelter or some sort of cover for sure.
Yeah. Then Sully's gonna run for cover. I was standing right by Saluna. I think I grab her hand and, like, try to drag her to cover.
Oh, yeah, like, she kind of, like, instantly, like, she'll go with you wherever that be.
Yeah.
But you can tell that she's, like, looking out to where the girl is. Like, the girl is in cover. Like, unless you knew she was there, like, you wouldn't aim at the thing and then shoot through the wall. She is at least not seen. And, like, you see her eyes, like, jump open. She realizes that something's happened. She just stays perfectly still.
I dive behind something also.
I think for the three of you, it's definitely like a having to spread out. You're not instantly in cover, and it's like diving over, and you hear another gunshot go off. But this one also misses because dramatic flair.
If you're wondering why I trade favors instead of magical books, this is probably a good reason why. This is more action than I usually see in a day.
And if this book can save the world, you'll be bloody thanking us. Like, Aster is, like, leaning back against, like, a car nearby. He's off to one side, away from the rest of yours. He kind of, like, scrambles across the ground. He has his rifle out. He's taken his bag off to one side, and he's just, like, he looks annoyed that this is the time you choose to grill him. Saluna basically doesn't really do anything on her turn in this, like, initiative order. Mainly because she has melee weapons and not ranged weapons. She doesn't have anything else on her.
I think the only one that has ranged weapons and can actually aim something is Sully. Let's say that that Lark and Ralph are behind one car together, that Sully and Siluna are behind another car together, but like a little distance away from you, and Aster is just kind of like scrambled to a different car. So he's kind of off on his own, just like reloading his gun and getting everything sorted out again. So you're all a little bit spread out. Okay, Sully, you'd be up next on the initiative tracker.
All right.
Would you like to do?
Is there any chance that Sully instinctively managed to count or estimate the difference between the bullet hitting the ground and the gunshot to be able to roughly know how long, like how far away this should be? Like, the thought I'm having is, would Sully instinctively go, oh, this is a sniper and I have no chance? Like,
yeah, this is like quite some distance off. The fact that Lark got an extreme success, or sorry, a hard success on the spot hidden, mm-hmm. meant that you had any indication at all that this might be a sniper. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you just saw two people off in the distance.
Yeah, it's like I would have to, like, it would be a lucky day I can hit my rifle that distance.
Yeah, it would kind of be on like the very far edge of what you could possibly do.
Fuck. All right, Sully's just gonna like. He looks over at his backpack. Like, oh no! Does he dare shoot back up that backpack?
Yeah. Sure. Can we add for dramatic flair that your backpack is like still by the girl in the box?
Yeah, there's definitely an error yep. then.
Saluna's bag is over there as well. Aster has his bag next to him because he did actually put it on. I think that's fine.
Sully's gonna just take inventory of everybody and see what everybody's up to, and he's gonna like slowly start getting his rifle ready. But he is not in any hurry to peek out as he does not want to get shot in the face with a sniper rifle. And he's kind of just trying to estimate other people's capabilities.
Yeah, I think we mentioned that Ralph only has a pistol as a ranged weapon.
Yeah, but he does have a drone. And maybe he has C4.
He's definitely not indicated to me, at least, that he has C4.
So
that's
I have
the thing we did in episode
points.
One. So V, you agreed to this. Maybe you remember.
How does this work? Let me roll luck.
To see if you have C4? No. Like you would see that he has a pistol, and yeah, he has a drone. You would see that. You know that Lark has like a hand sickle. Doesn't really seem to be much else. The woman next to Siluna only has like two machetes, but she does know what she's doing with them. And you spot that Aster does actually also have a rifle.
Scope.
Roll luck check. Who has the lowest luck? It's Sully. Sully, roll a luck check.
All right, I got a 69.
Ooh, nice.
On a 30.
Yeah, that's not so nice. alas, no, he doesn't have a scope. You have a mechanic, however.
I have a mechanic.
You have a scavenging, I am always prepared mechanic.
Yes, I do. Oh, you're gonna let me have a scope on my fucking thing with my prepared mechanic.
Yep.
Yes.
So, each of the characters has some like very specific mechanics that go along with them.
For a minute, I was like, I'm the one with the highest roll number in mechanical stuff, and I was like, am I the mechanic? And I was like, I hope I'm not going to be tasked to just make a scope out of dirt and rocks that are around us for you, because MacGyver. I'm not sure about that, but
When Sully does any sort of like scavenging and he wants to fill up like his, I'm always prepared, like a prepared scout, he can add to his like particular pool. It doesn't cost any resources. It's very, very nebulous. So it allows us to be like, I would probably have something like this for this occasion.
He reaches into the next best car and pulls out a scope.
No, this is like specifically from his giant bag of stuff. So this would cost either 20, 40 or 60 resources. I think a scope, probably 20. Like you would probably find that fairly easy-ish. So I'm going to say that if you knock 20 off of your resources, which for you is one dash skill resource-ish, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If you knock 20 off of that, you do have a scope, but it is in the front pocket of your bag.
Oh, come on.
You would not have it on you. It's in your bag. All your resources are in your bag.
Bad
You're
luck.
Such a mean. You're such a mean.
Just... I don't make the... Wait a minute, I do.
Sully's, leaning against the car. He's looking between people. Sees that nobody has anything that looks like a long-range weapon. It's just like... All right. He's, like, speaking loud enough that he assumes that the rest of the group can hear, but not that the snipers, like... I'm assuming I would have to be yelling for them.
Yeah, you could probably definitely speak quite loudly and it not hit the other end of the kind of like road that we're on. So you could definitely speak with authority.
All right, I have a scope in my bag, but my bag is by the hurt woman. What's her name? Sully asks.
Good question. Feyrana. Her name is Feyrana.
Feyrana, can you hear me?
Yes.
Do you see my bag?
She kind of like nudges it with her foot and nods.
Pull it into the cabin thing you're in.
You can see that she kind of like, she takes a deep breath and she does that kind of like lunge of like, this is as much energy as I've got. She kind of grabs it and pulls it back on her and she kind of like, you see her grit her teeth. Ooh, let's give her a con roll.
Can she be good at those?
Okay, who has the highest con?
Maybe me.
I have like shocking high
con. I mean, she hasn't died, so you've got to assume it's going to be pretty good, yeah. Right?
Ignore that, I accidentally clicked the button.
Oh, I have pretty good con.
I've got 76.
All right, Ralph, what is your con?
Are we just rolling con or?
Nope.
Oh, 80.
I just need to know what it is.
The number is 80.
All right, let's go on an 80. Yeah, she manages to, like, reach out, grab the bag and pull it back, and you see her, like, gritting her teeth, like, really hard, and you can see, like, her lip going white, but she doesn't, like, let out any sort of sound at all. And you see her kind of, like, she kind of, like, moves her hand, and she's, like, looking at your direction, just kind of, like, feeling her way to, like, wherever it is that you may be directing her to. And very quickly, she manages to, like, grab hold of the scope and, like, pull it out.
All right. Aster!
Yes?
I'm going to count to three. On three, I need you to roll out and just take a couple of pot shots. You don't have to hit them. You just need to do enough that I can run to my scope.
Ralph, can you help? I think two shots are going to be better for distraction than just one.
I can try. Should we not be backing up into the burrow?
I think if we run to the burrow, we will be shot. They will know exactly where we're going. They can line up a shot and just end us.
Yeah, and we're going to be trapped in there if we do that, mate. Are we going to be good on three?
Unless somebody has a different distraction method for me.
Great. One, two, three. And right. Aster kind of rolls out, ducks down, and starts to take shots in the general direction. Ralph, are you doing the same?
Yeah, I'm going to do that, and in order to make it look like I know what I'm doing and not blind firing, I'm going to make my movement in this brief flash of energy. I'm going to make some steps towards like a tree to hide behind off of the path so that it seems like I'm going for the flank, even if I don't commit to it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, this is difficult because normally, like, lying is like a fast talk.
It would just be a psychology rule from them. Like, do they spot what he's up to?
Yeah. I think I prefer that interpretation because there's no talking involved here. This is just ridiculous.
Guns talk.
Let the guns do the talking. Ralph, I'd like you to roll a pistol shot as an extreme success. Because that's what you would need to hit them or anywhere near them.
Yeah, no,
and we know it's very, very unlikely you're going to hit them, but there is still a small chance that you could. So do that and we will allow you to like dodge across to like the chain and fence that has like a tree that's kind of growing really close and into it. So you could definitely like maneuver yourself so it looks like you're going for the flank and it looks like you're going to be able to get cover. Absolutely go ahead, do that.
Locke is just ducking behind a wheel and just covering their ears like all the gunshots going on.
It wasn't even close to a normal success, so...
That's okay. Your shot goes wide, as we all know it probably will. I'm going to have... Aster also take an extreme check with his rifle. He is, as you notice when he's using it, Sully, he is definitely not good.
He did manage to kill one of the thingies.
Yeah, but that was in a cut.
It was in a manipulated cutscene. I couldn't have you all die in literally the first 20 minutes. I've been there and it sucks. Yeah, you see Aster kind of roll out and he takes like two shots, but like they go completely wild as you expect. But it does give you some sort of cover. So you are definitely able to like run across to where you want to go and get the scope.
So the intention is to run to the guard post thingy. And I don't know if this is going to make sense, but the description is, I know where they are.
Uh-huh.
So as long as I am behind the guard post, I should be able to cut a complete line of sight. And my intention is just to be like lying down in front of where the hurt lady is, whose name was said earlier and instantly forgot.
Feyrana. It's like piranha, but with a fey.
Yes, but it's Feyrana.
Yeah. So if you imagine, like, this is Sully lying down, and this is the guard post, it completely blocks, like, the sight. And the intention is to...
Okay, yes. So, like, the guard post is between you and those people.
Yes. And Sully's going to take a couple of seconds of, like, reaching out, getting the scope, attaching it to his rifle, calibrating a little bit.
Okay, takes time, so I'm going to have them make a few shots. Kessa.
Can I, since we're hiding behind cars, they probably have mirrors, side mirrors. Can I try to adjust one of the side mirrors so I can look, like, it's probably somewhere over me, like, try to look behind and make sure that they are still there and that they're not, like, not there anymore?
Yeah, because I think this idea is dope, like, you're able to, like, look around and look in, and for whatever fuck's sake, there is a car mirror that is not broke to shit, and you're able to, like, take it off the car, either, like, a side mirror, just, like, a good push, or, like, pull, like, the central one out. And, yeah, make a hard spot hidden for me, because it is quite difficult to do the angling and being able to actually see. It was difficult enough to see them when you're looking at them, but in a mirror, they're different.
Oh, that's a fail.
Like you lift up a mirror and you kind of like angle it, but you just can't get enough of a good view. Maybe they've moved a little bit, or maybe they're just now really well hidden, or you just cannot get it in the right angle, but unfortunately you're not able to see it exactly if they're still there or where they are.
I'm gonna clean that mirror. Maybe it's like a little bit, I don't know, what's it when the mirrors are like faded or whatever? Clean it a little bit better.
You know, that's a really good justification for a push roll if you want to do it. So you can push the roll, but there will be a consequence. So you can do, like, another roll on it.
Yeah, let's do it. Do I do another hard one?
No, I'll say we'll do this a success because you're cleaning off the mirror.
Yeah.
Which is a good reason why it may have been, like, you already had a go, you roughly know where that is, you give it a good cleaning, like, okay, if I do it this angle, I may have better go. If you miss, there will be, sorry, if you fail, there will be a minor consequence.
Okay. 23. Hard success.
Yeah, you get like a really good angle this time, and you get it to a point where there's like, it doesn't seem to be any like reflection off of your mirror, so you don't alert them that you're doing something like this.
Can I not fucking blind them?
And you're able to see that the two people have like moved up to a slightly closer position, and you can see that, yeah, like there is a guy, a kind of a younger looking guy, who is like leaning on the hood of a car, and he has the weapon aimed, and he seems to be like popping up, readjusting his sights, popping down, popping up, readjusting his sights. But yeah, he's a little bit closer, and you could, with like some really good direction, tell Sully exactly where this guy is.
They're not where they used to, where they were before. They moved a little bit closer. I'm gonna give you like, I'm gonna give him like a description of the car, like a color or whatever.
It still has two tires attached at the front, which is super unusual. The windscreen is only half of it. It's on the left hand side instead of being on the right hand side. So yeah, like you can definitely give like a definitely good description of where it is. All right, I'm still gonna make the shot because it has been a while. Okay. going to make them make a hard check. You hear a gunshot go off, and you hear... You hear a gunshot going off, and to the sides of... just as Asta is beginning to roll back into position after providing cover fire, you hear this kind of like of pain, and he rolls back. And as you look back, you can see there's definitely like a pool of blood that is kind of sprayed across the grass behind where he was. And you see him put his hand to his shoulder, and he's like kind of like grunting in pain. He still has the gun in his hand, but like it was not a good shot. He looks completely pale. It was very, very close to where his heart is. Okay, so that was Lark. Saluna just kind of looks across, like, worried, and you can see that she puts the, puts her machetes back in her holsters, and you can see that she's kind of, like, beginning to awkwardly, like, pull off her jacket and, like, begins to, like, rip it into what looks like, you know, lengths of cloth, as you think she's probably about to dart over to where, Asta is. Okay, Sully.
All right. You say that she's getting ready to start running?
Yeah, she looks like she's about to go over and try and help out Asta.
Alright, Sully's gonna try to time his roll out of cover to, like, be a couple of seconds after she starts running. So, if there...
Yeah, we can do that, yeah. Yeah, that's fine. She's using her as cover.
She's intending to run. Sully's not gonna waste
Opportunity.
If she gets shot, he might be able to get the shot off too, so.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. All right, go ahead. And I think that with the, because like it would be a hard shot to take, because of how far you are, the fact that this gun isn't really supposed to be used at quite such a range. You're kind of like fitting a scope on it, which isn't 100% a perfect fit, but you somehow over the years managed to like jiggle it to make it work. They're not exactly where you remember them being, but you are using extremely good directions from Lark, and you have a good feel from that gunshot that just went off. You may know roughly where they are. So yeah, I'm going to say this is going to be a normal roll. I think that's like a fair exchange of, like, I don't want to roll penalties or anything like that. I think this is as close as we're going to get to, like, a standard shot.
All right.
So, go ahead.
There you go. That is a normal success.
Damn, go ahead and roll your damage.
15 damage. Holy
what
shit.
What the fuck?
I think I may have murdered somebody.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I keep forgetting you only have, like, 10 damage hit points or whatever.
Yep, that's brutal.
Yeah, so the way that it works in Cthulhu is if you take damage that is equal to or more than your maximum health, you are dead. Like, you are dead. And yeah, Lark, as you're still kind of using this mirror, you see the pair of them that are kind of, like, rushing across... like just as that moment they kind of pick their head up and they're about to run to a closer position, you see one of them just fall to the floor, and you see like the kind of sniper rifle that they're using kind of like clatter to the ground next to them, but you see the other person look down and quickly grab the gun and run to the next position, and they are definitely more well hidden to a point where you actually can't see them now. They've actually taken proper cover. But yeah, you've murked a guy. Could you take a sanity roll, please? And also the same for Luck.
Luck's gonna hurl.
That's a fail.
58. A success.
Okay, Luck, you take 1 point of damage. And Sully, you also only take 1 point of damage.
Lucky day.
Okay, Ralph, it's now your go.
There is still a ways of distance between us, aren't there? Me and the one that's not been completely killed.
Yeah, the one that hasn't been killed has definitely, like... They're definitely alive. You definitely saw them almost, like, very coldly grab the gun off the ground and run to another spot that's closer, but it's still, like, phenomenally far away.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep running up on him. Shake him up, I guess. It psychology game, you know? Just make him seem like he has to aim at me first.
Okay.
When I am not the threat. I want to run up a little more, hide behind another tree, basically.
Okay, I'll have them roll a psychology check, and then I'll just narrate, like, what their actions are based on that. Is that okay?
Yeah. I don't feel like I need to waste another ammo or anything, you know? As long as it seems like I'm really making movement over there.
Yeah. Like, you're definitely able to, like, shake the trees, kick the bushes, like, pebbles move around. You definitely make sure that the sun glints off of your gun occasionally. Like, you're definitely able to make yourself noticed, but you don't know how they're reacting, because they're just, they've taken, like, a really good cover behind the car that they are. You see their face, like, peek around, like, in a direction opposite to where Sully is, to see you trying to, like, flank around them. You see them for the briefest moment, but it's not enough to gauge on whether they consider you a threat, but they definitely know that you're there. Okay. Asta.
Don't bleed out, buddy.
As Saluna rushes over, you can tell that he's basically fallen unconscious. Lark, it is now your turn.
I literally got nothing. I guess, Saluna is already over there, right?
Yeah, she's attempting to administer first aid.
Is the distance to Aster something that Lark could easily cover without, like, avoiding being in full sight?
No. So you would basically have to cover an open gap to get to the car where Sully was, and then cover another open gap to get to the car where Aster is.
I guess they will continue doing the mirror thing and try to give Sully more directions if they can.
Yeah, take a spot hint for me.
I appreciate this. I've got a spotter. It's only the fourth episode.
Best episode ever.
I'm going to spot you.
Yeah, like, you're able to, like, know exactly which car it is, but they haven't popped their head up yet and they haven't put their rifle up yet. You're not 100% sure what is exactly going on, but you can definitely, like, wait until they pop their head up to take a shot, and you can tell Sully exactly where that car is, so that we can do this kind of very elaborate prepared ready shot, I guess, because of the order of events is kind of a little bit iffy, but we could definitely do that. I think that's absolutely fine.
Yeah, I was going to do, like, a double check underneath the cars to see, like, if I can see their feet from there, but like, that wouldn't get me anywhere because I cannot describe the car from
yeah
there.
I don't think you'd be able to see, like, where exactly in the part of the car, like, as long as it's in the rough direction, there's a chance that Sully would be able to hit it. What you see, Sully, what you see, Lark, is that you see this person with kind of, like, long fair hair pop themselves up and aim the gun in the direction that Ralph is. So, Sully, with that information, you can definitely take a shot. We're going to do the same as before. You don't have any negatives. You don't have any positives. It's just a straight roll. And then this person will take their shot if you don't kill them first.
No! No! No!
I'm going to push the roll. I can't.
If you fail, there will be a consequence. There
will be a broken gun.
Or I can... I can offer you two things. I can offer you a pushed roll, or I can offer you an Eldritch Bargain.
I ain't make no Eldritch Bargain in episode 4, dude. I just got my spotter. You're not taking them away.
Alright, go for that, and the failure will be... It will hurt.
Oh, fucking thank Christ. That's a 66 on a 75, so that's a hit.
Alright, go for it and roll damage.
Oh my!
Maximum damage, 16.
What you see, Ralph, is as this person with long fair hair, like, pops up and aims the gun in your direction, you basically just see this bullet pass through their neck, and you see them fall to the ground, and this bullet goes completely wide and up into the air as they still manage to pull the trigger. But they are super dead, and they are laying on the ground.
I guess Lark would have seen that, so now that it's safe, they would go run over to where Aster is and try to help stabilize them.
Yeah. As you rush over to Aster, he is laying on the ground and his eyes are open and unmoving.
Him dead?
He is dead. So if you are unconscious and you fail a constitution roll before a successful first aid, you die.
Oh boy.
As you rush over, However, you notice that something very strange is happening to Asta's body. At the point of the bullet entry, as you kind of like run over and Saluna like suddenly stands up and backs away, both her hands on her machetes, you see that the sight of the bullet, it's almost as if his skin and his flesh and his bones are beginning to turn transparent. And it begins to like slowly spread out and then get faster and faster as you realize that his body is slowly turning into some sort of clear crystal. And you notice that the effect spreads and it's affecting the car behind him as well. You can see that the ground is like slowly beginning to turn white and it seems to emanate from his chest wound as a starting point as you see this whiteness and crystallizing of the car, the person, the bandages that were just dropped on the floor begin to spread out. And it seems to be getting faster and faster. Sully, can you make a sanity roll for me, please?
Why?
I wonder why, buddy.
Because I always fail them. 73 under 36.
You take 3 points of sanity damage as a memory you thought long gone, one you'd hopefully you'd never get to see again, begins to resurface in your mind.
So I'm aware of what is happening.
You know 100% what is happening here.
All right. Sully, like, he's lying on the ground. He's got his rifle trained where the guy went down. He's, like, staring. He's focused on, like, all right, is either one of them going to get up? I don't know for certain that I've killed them. And then he looks over, looks, stares at it, and then just jumps to his feet. All right, get your stuff. We're running. We need you to move now.
What? You see, like, the woman take a few steps back.
Yeah, Lark is also, like, trying to back away from the crystal stuff coming closer. And I guess on the command of we're getting out, they're going to grab their backpack. And, we need to worry about the... what's her name? How do you pronounce it? Feyrana.
Yeah, you see... as soon as you say that, Celine is in a very like similar mind, and she's running straight towards where the girl is. If Sully isn't already up on his feet, she's just gonna like drag him up as best she can.
Oh no, he's like getting up, and like I think he's probably shouting for Ralph.
Yeah, I think Ralph was on his way after everything died down, since he's like halfway between everyone. I think he was gonna make his way over to the people that we just killed to grab their backpacks and whatever stuff in their pockets and bring it back to them. But I guess I'm not going to be bringing that back to them now. So at whatever point I'm collecting their stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So like you're definitely over them. You're rummaging currently. Yeah. And we'll deal with what you managed to rummage when we catch back up. Sully, can you make a strength check for me, please?
I'm going to grab their gun for sure, because that's useful for...
Yes, definitely grab the sniper rifle. And let's say there's like a round in the chamber. I don't know how guns work, but that sounds good to me. Sully, can you make a strength check with a bonus die because you have Saluna helping you?
That's a 16, so a hard success.
Damn. You're both able very quickly to like pick the girl up. You see Saluna very quickly grabs hold of her bag and slings it over her shoulder. You managed to pick up the girl. Sully, I'm assuming you're at least trying to grab your bag.
Oh, yeah. There's no way in hell I'm leaving that bag. There is no way in hell I'm leaving that goddamn bag.
Lark, you look back in his direction and you notice that although his bag has completely turned to crystal, there are two items that have not. And you can see them because the crystal is essentially clear. It's like glass, but with way too many color refractions in it. You notice that there is the small green book that is still within this crystal. And you notice that there looks like to be like this kind of like floating red liquid, like in like a ball shaping like a sphere. But you would have to cross the expanding line of crystal and ice and whiteness to get to it.
No. If this ever stops, we can go back to get it, but not right now.
Y'all start running. Lark, you definitely have a much better speed than either Sully and Saluna and the injured lady, because they are carrying her basically, and you are able to run like fuck. Mm-hmm. So you manage to outdistance them quite quickly. Yeet. Sully, I would like you to roll a dexterity check with a penalty die.
Okay.
Is penalty die the same as hard?
No, penalty die is kind of the equivalent of disadvantage. So if you're rolling with like physical die, you have two D10s. One of them has like one with a zero after it, two with a zero after it, and the other one is just like the numbers one, like zero through nine. And in theory, in a penalty or in a bonus die, you roll the ones that have tens twice and you either take the higher or lower result. And you can roll, unlike D&D, you can roll more than one penalty die and more than one bonus die. So if you have everything stacked in your favor, you can have like two bonus die. And they also do cancel each other out.
I got a 94 on a 76. That's a failure.
You realize that if you keep running with this girl, you and Saluna are going to get caught. You look back behind your shoulder and you notice that the chaining fence has now become completely crystal, and you notice that a lot of the ground is turning white. One of the trees right next to you is slowly turning into a crystal as it expands ever outwards. You notice that some of the trees don't, and Zalata's grace is also not affected.
I'm imagining that Sully is like carrying her by the feet, the hurt lady.
Yeah, it's probably a good, yeah.
Yep. Sully's going to drop Verena's feet and like move up to Saluna and just grab her by the shirt. Like, run.
We can't leave her.
You do not want to die with her. Come on. And he's like pulling on her.
Charm. No, persuasion. Persuasion.
That is not going to happen. Enjoy turning into crystal when I fill this role. 89 on a ten.
She kind of, she still has Faerina kind of like by the shoulders, and she just kind of like nudges you away from her. She says, just go then, you coward.
Sully's running.
The pair of you keep running, and you manage to catch up to Ralph, who is like, you have on you, you've managed to grab yourself a sniper rifle, and we'll determine exactly the characteristics at the minute. You have managed to pick up a couple of extra rounds, so you have like six extra shots for this. Looking through their personal belongings, going through their pockets, Ralph, you find that one of them has a sickle of Yamal. They have an actual like leaf, and you can see that the leaf is extremely sharp. It's clearly been used. There are like still spatters of like dried blood on it, and it has a handle that's actually been attached to this. But only the one that you run across that actually has a sniper rifle now has one of those. The other one had nothing else on them whatsoever.
Okay, and I don't think that I've seen this outside of, I mean, yes, but this is not a common. I have seen this before.
No.
To be clear. But.
Yeah, like you would have seen sickles of Yamal, like the actual plant, being used as a sickle. But generally speaking, people always travel with more stuff, and you don't often see it with like the remains of old blood on it. They're often like cleaned off pretty quickly.
This is something that I see on old architecture and stuff and not in people's possessions. And.
Yeah, like you might have seen this like used in a field, but off in the distance. It's not a very normal thing to have. You have seen and heard of them before, but it's not one that's like, it's not normal. It's definitely veers on the other side of unusual.
Okay. That's mine now, and I hate it. yeah, I'm grabbing up their things, and I don't even think that he notices that everything is going bad. Because we mentioned earlier that the distance and shouting would be, you know, a thing.
Yeah, you hear running, you hear like Sully being called a coward. You look back and you see everybody running. You see the ground turning white. You see basically everything that's not the ground turning into like this crystalline structure. And as you're looking back in that direction, you see Riley just, you see Sully dropping Faerina's legs, getting pushed away. And as you see Sully and Lark running in your direction and basically having caught up with you, all three of you hear screaming. You hear the woman scream as you see that her legs are being slowly turned into crystal, and you see that Saluna is unable to run with them. You see also that Saluna, as she reaches out to try and grab, her hand also turns into crystal and neither of them can move. You hear them scream. You see this crystalline wall, this line of crystallizing force continue to move outwards until they're both engulfed and there is silence. What do the three of you do? I would like the three of you to make sanity rolls, please.
Chill on the sanity rolls. Success.
No, this is some freaky shit. This is the bread and butter of Cthulhu.
Well, I failed.
Ew.
Lark?
I succeeded.
Great. Lark, you take 2 points of sanity damage.
2?
Yep. And Ralph and Sully, you take 4 points of sanity damage. As you see these two women be overtaken by crystalline. Could I have one of you, and I don't really mind who, take a spot hidden for me?
I know both of you have better than me, so.
I don't think.
And you're busy running.
Mine's at 50. I think Cassie beats me.
Oh, I just made it.
Oh, really? I thought yours was more.
Oof. Just meeting it. You can tell that the speed in which the crystallizing force has seemed to be now like evening out. So it's not getting faster. It's not getting slower, but it's not getting any faster now. And you think that you could definitely keep running at this pace for a while and it not catch up to you. Might be able to gain a little bit distance. You might be a little faster than some other people here. Who knows? But you'd definitely be able to keep this at pace and possibly outpace it for a little while. You also notice that in the center of that kind of like car park area where you were, you see this red and purple energy form and you see like crackling. And then you see this being step out from the mist that has very long, elongated arms. And you see it has lots and lots of roots at its bottom edge in which it uses to, like, move around. And you see it kind of, like, move off in the direction of where Asta passed away. And that's kind of all that you really see with, like, a quick glance back. I'm assuming you're all still running?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. We are basically, well, at least Sully is following the road because, well, it makes sense. It's probably the most easy to traverse, yeah.
Yes. You managed to get to the end of this road, like, fairly quickly. I'm assuming you're all moving at, like, oh, fuck me pace. You come to basically a T-junction. You have a choice of going left, which takes you further into, like, the city and the town that was here. And you can see, like, the apartment buildings and the smaller shops. Or you can turn to the right, which would take you back along to the area where the gas station is. What do you want to do? Ahead of you, there's really just forest. And also, like, you can see a little bit ahead of you some other buildings, which kind of mark the edge of where this, like, larger town or former city was.
Well, which direction takes us on average further from the epicenter of the crystal?
Is it a T or is it a Y?
and even if it is a T, like, which road bends away further, like, at first, like...
Oh, let me check the map.
If Sully has a good feeling for this location, for, like, the way the roads lie, like, he's definitely using this, like... Yeah, like, I want to make my radius away from the epicenter of Aster as quick as well as I can.
Oh, if you are, like, thinking of, like, this is kind of the straightest road that would get me away, it would actually be towards the gas station. So, like, it would dip back a little bit towards the radius, but then do, like, a hard loop kind of around the side of where and the gas station is, and then you could go left, which is the direction that Ralph arrived, or you can go up the hill, which is the direction that Lark arrived. So, like, going right dips back a little bit, but it eventually does lead much further away than off to New Milan, which is the city that you're near. That would just kind of keep going in a straight line and would eventually be intercepted on that line way before as if you went towards the gas station.
I'm not running into the forest, so...
oh, go on.
I have no strong feeling, guys. Like, I'm putting this to the table. Do you guys want to go over to the city?
Like,
or do you want to go
visit? It sounded like gas station was further away.
Yeah, it does go closer, but eventually it gives us a better chance.
Yeah, there's like a little loop back, but yeah. Then, yeah, like, if you manage to outrun it, then that's the direction you want to keep running.
Gas station.
Yeah.
You guys turn right towards the gas station. You run. And you run. And what was formerly like a 30-minute walk has like turned into something like an 8-12-minute run at the most. It is definitely exhausting, but running for a long period of time, if you've been outside at all in the sprouting, is something you have to do. So yeah, like you keep running and you keep running. Does anybody look back at all?
Nope.
Occasionally.
Okay.
It did get a little bit slower, so...
It kind of evened out.
Yeah, keep a pace. So Lark is occasionally going to check.
Yeah, like after like 3 or 4 minutes of looking back, you realize that either you guys are getting faster or it's getting slower. And being that you've been running for a few minutes, you think maybe it's getting slower at a significant rate.
I'm getting very good at running very quickly. That's what I believe.
Do you think this would stop at all?
Sully, just through heaving breaths, just like says,
"It will, but we have to keep moving."
I think it's getting slower. Or we're gaining a lot of distance.
Keep moving. Once it stops, we can stop.
Okay.
You guys make it to the gas station. When with another look back, Lark, you realize that kind of... As you look back, and then you look back again, like, wait, did I just see what I thought I saw? You see a tree that has been half crystallized. And when you look back for the second time, it's still only half crystallized, and you kind of slow down a little bit and actually have an almost proper look. And it looks like the edge of this crystallizing has stopped. You're probably like 2 minutes run from the gas station now.
I think it stopped. It's not coming any closer.
With that, Sully's gonna like... he does that thing where you like you run across the finishing line where like you still have
just
momentum
collapse.
But you're like no, it's not the collapse, it's the you still have momentum but you're like your legs are like done, you know what I mean? It's just like
the top half goes floppy but the bottom half is still like going.
Yeah, it just slowly stops.
I crash with all of my and the people we killed's belongings. They just kind of fall in front of me.
Meta-wise, good job.
Yay! Well, we didn't save the people.
No, all these people we tried to save.
It's Aster's fault.
Yeah, I didn't trust the guy. I should not have gone up.
Or the guy that killed him. We can blame it on either one of those.
Dumbass getting shot.
Dumbass shooting Aster and making him do crystal stuff.
Oh, you think the bullet did it? You think we got some 8 magic bullets?
Crystal bullets.
Yeah, I have 6-7 crystal bullets.
Well, you guys need to stop looking around.
Okay. In game. Let's just move to in game. I am assuming there is some kind of a racket or something close by, it can be just like a sign or something, but like, yeah, Sully walks over to something and is just kicking at it. He is like cursing and kicking and he's like clearly just fucking furious.
I'm sorry, what was that? What happened?
fuck! Huh?
Lark did not expect that outburst of... of rage there, so they're just I think finding a place, like a little corner where they can retreat to, and
yeah, less of a corner, more a step a little bit further back along the road.
Gain some distance.
5 people dead. No, 11 people dead. Fuck.
You only killed 2 of them.
Yeah, but bandits don't really count, but... That was so bad. That stupid bitch. Could have saved her.
What was that?
When Aster got shot, he started turning into crystal. And then everything around him turned into crystal.
Yeah, that's cult shit. It's fucking Sickle of Ymel. I don't know what, I don't know how, but I've seen them do it before. And it looked nothing like this.
Ralph pulls out the sickle thing that he picked up from one of the people and just is looking at it, kind of confused.
And Lark hides their sickle.
Now you pull it out and actually have like a proper time to actually look at it. You can see that on the handle, there appears to be carved like 3 faces. And I think for Sully, at least, you've been out in the world enough and you've had like maybe 1 or 2 of these things like pass through your collector's hands or through your trading exploits, you would know this is definitely something that belongs to the Sickle of Ymel, which is essentially a full-on cult, full-on assassination cult.
Yeah, that's Aster pissed off the wrong people because the Sickle was after him. Or were they after us? I don't know. God, I hope they're not after us.
How do you know if they're after you? They did this to him. Aster didn't do the crystal stuff. Is that what you're saying?
Like you putting all the things together like that does make Sully like hesitate for a second. He's like,
wait.
First of all, quick question, V. Does Sully know of any way to know if the Sickle is coming after you? Does he know a guy that has a connection within the Sickle that could, like, bleed that kind of information?
Oh, you would never. You would never have an inside guy.
Okay.
You don't know anyone who has an inside guy with the Sickles or YML.
Is there...
The only way to really know if a Sickle of Ymel is after you is if, to start with, you seem to have a lot of near-miss accidents, or you are dead. Like, you either just missed an assassination attempt or you are dead. So a lot could be put down to, oh, it was an accident, they died. But if there's a series of accidents before an accident, it's probably them.
Okay, so...
And then if it begins to escalate after that, you spot seeing, like, the same kind of people that you've never seen before. You realize that you're being watched, that... Zalatus Grey seems to have some sort of weird interest in you. Then you would probably guess that the Sickles of Ymel are after you. Could you make a history check for me?
Let me see.
Nah, that's a fail. And like far outside luck range.
Yes, I can't give you any more than that, I'm afraid.
As far as I know, there's no real way to know if you're being targeted by the Sickle. Nobody I know has any connections to them. They usually try to get rid of you through accidents, but eventually they just shoot you. If you're lucky, you'll catch a sight of the people a couple of times. But I don't know anybody who's been targeted by them who's still alive. People say that the Salata's Grace, like, takes an interest in you if you're under attack by the Sickle, but I don't know if that's because the Sickle commands them or if... I don't know.
I'm not overly familiar with either, but I've seen this before. The nodding towards the sickle-y shape thing.
Sully's going to look over to Lark.
Silatus Grace did talk to you. The creatures tried to kill you.
All right, look, let's look for clues. And Rolf will dump out whatever backpack or whatever he managed to get from them and go through the rest of what he has of their possessions that he managed to get.
Yeah, you managed to pick up like 6 extra shots for the sniper rifle. So
wait, I had 7 when we initially left, right? Do I have 6 more than that now?
Yes, there's 1 in the chamber and then you picked up 6.
Okay, so still 7. Okay.
You have the sickle.
I have that. Yeah.
But they had literally nothing else on them. They had a bag which had the sickle in it, but there was literally nothing else on them.
Okay.
You like searched through them. You didn't, granted you didn't have a lot of time, but you searched through their pockets, you searched through their coats, you kind of like lifted like, you know, their shirt in case there was like anything like hidden like in the back of their trousers, you know, like an extra weapon or anything at all. Like you maybe kicked off their shoe. There was nothing else on them.
All right, well, scratch that.
When I looked back, I saw the book was still in his backpack, and it was not crystallized. And there was another thing in there, something red. It looked like a liquid. It was small, and round. That's all I saw.
You can definitely see like Sully leaning in, like. A weird red liquid?
Yeah, like in a little ball. I think it was ball-shaped.
Yeah, it was a sphere, yeah. Lark, you would actually... Like, if you're kind of, like, really thinking about it, this liquid is really similar to the one that you have in your compass.
Oh. Then they're going to take out the compass and they're going to open it and they're going to say, it looked like this. And they have
The compass has like, you know, the compass part. But inside the lid, when it opens up, you can see like this seascape and a rock and what looks like a woman painted on the rock. But there's this red, thick, like very viscous fluid that seems to be like replacing the sea. So when like Lark moves it, you can see that the liquid kind of swishes and moves a little.
Where do you all find these things?
Me?
Yeah.
Do I know? Or is this something
that this liquid is?
I'm looking for the thing from my brother.
Yes. You know what the fluid for Karak particles are suspended in? Sorry, particles are suspended in. It's this kind of like thick, viscous red fluid that sometimes defies gravity. Like you've seen it here and there. It's supposed to have like little flakes of what looks like light that seems to move and shimmer. And apparently if you stare at it deep enough, like there are shapes that can form in this. But you yourself have never actually seen those particles. You've never actually seen those little glimmers of light or any of the shapes. It's just you've either not stared at it long enough or you think that it's a crock of shit. Like any options you have, even if you really want to, you have never seen it. But the liquid that is inside Lark's compass very closely matches that description.
Have I seen these liquids before?
Yeah, right. But you would have only ever seen them in doses. You would have seen them in under like laboratory conditions, like Revan would have used mm-hmm. when he had some.
All right. Sully's like kind of leaning in and he's like,
may I see that?
Lark is going to like hold it up to you, but they're not giving it to you.
All right. Sully's going to stare into the red liquid.
Does it stare back?
Take a power check.
What do you mean, take a power check? Can you ask me to take a normal...
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me to rephrase it. Can you take a power save?
Power save?
Oh, no. I horribly flopped that. 93 on a 40.
You don't see anything. You just see the liquid slosh and move.
East, I thought you said...
Sally's just gonna, like, lean back. And,
It looked like that liquid, though.
Yeah, I think so. I only had a quick glance at it, but it looked almost exactly like this.
We can't touch the crystal. As far as I know, it's deadly. And it stays deadly.
Y'all can take a spot hidden.
Can we just throw a rock at it? At the area? Oh! 45, that's a success.
Fail.
Clearly, Locke's younger eyes and ears are much more attuned to this shit than either of you. As Sully is saying this with, like, quite a lot of authority, you look over and you notice, like, what looks like a squirrel just kind of, like, run down a tree, run across the line and run up the other tree that has been fully crystallized. It doesn't seem to be affected at all. But you do see other creatures that have been caught in the crystallization, and they are crystal.
But they probably got crystallized while the effect was still reaching out.
Yes.
I see a small animal over there. It's running around on the crystal.
It's really hard for you two to see. Like, you're just old man eyes are just not cutting it.
We can test this really easily. We can just throw a rock into the area, right?
I would personally not risk my life on that, but you say you see an animal in there?
Yeah. There was the fluffy one with a bushy tail.
Doc?
Badger?
yeah, a dog. But smaller. A small dog. A tree dog.
Tree dog?
Tree chihuahua?
Do you mean bear?
All right, sorry. We're being silly.
fuck. Okay, so you're saying you're seeing a small animal on the crystal right now?
Yeah, it just went down from that tree over there and then went up that tree over there.
So I'm just gonna...
That's when you see it, like, run across the road, because I can't be dealing with this anymore. Mm. You see it, like, run across the road and go up another tree on the other side.
See, a small dog. Fluffy dog. Tree dog.
V?
Yeah.
Didn't Roland say that this shit stayed poisonous to me? I asked, when will it be safe to pass? And he said never.
Oh, right. No, yeah. Yeah. He said never. Correct.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Sorry, I'm like...
Fucking double gaslighting.
Because I know the truth, and I know what he has learned since all of your backstories, and I know what he does now. I'm like, no, he would have told you the truth. Wait, did he? Yeah, he did tell you the truth at the time.
Yeah.
Just because he says something doesn't mean he knows it any better.
He said it with authority.
Yes, Sully.
Just for funsies, Lark is throwing a rock into the area.
Oh, yeah, like, it bounces over the line and, like, skids along, and you definitely see the squirrel kind of, like, start and, like, skitter away further into the crystals until you can't see anything. The rock is unchanged.
Bye, treaty dog.
Sally looks between the two of you, seeming to be contemplating something.
Which of the two will I send in there?
All right. He had the book. You want to catalog that book. I want to see that red liquid.
He said it was important. I mean, I can go over the benefits of what cataloging it would do, but it wouldn't. I mean, my catalog of a magical book isn't going to be magical, so it's just going to be, you know.
I don't know if it's safe to go back there, though. There was, when I looked over my shoulder earlier, there was, the sky turned red and there was a big plant that came out, and it was larger than the trees, and the roots were higher than the trees, but I didn't see much of it. There was a shadow.
Does that sound like the thing I saw with Roland?
No, the thing that you saw with Roland was the thing that was inside the room.
I don't know if it's still there. I only saw a quick glance at it.
I can send the drone over to look. And if it's able to pick up the book, I can try to do that. If it's
safe,
I'd rather not risk the drone, though, to be honest.
Yep. Please try. And yeah, go see if you see whatever it is that Lark saw.
Yeah, Sully's like moving close to the line of the crystal and he's just like staring at it. Just like,
yeah, you begin to see like ants and bugs beginning to like crawl across the surface and like it's, yeah, like, you're looking around like, yeah, okay, maybe. So you're going to get OT to go up and have a look?
Yes.
You detach OT. OT kind of like flashes across like a little LED screen. Like, you want me to go back to the place that we just were with like a question mark and find a book? Question mark.
We need to at least assess the situation.
With that, OT takes off straight into the air and glides forward, crossing the barrier. Footnote, Sully at Pytear. You received information that Vivaldi is in a place called the Blighted Circle. To get to it, you had to pull in a lot of favours, make a lot of trades to find out where this place even is. Maps don't really go out that far, but you're given a bearing on a compass and told that you'll be passing through a small town called Pytear. And that's the way you're headed. Travelling alone. Just you, your equipment. Up ahead of you, you see the mountains some distance off, and you know that you've got to get through there. There's a pass between that gets you through the mountains somehow, and when you find that, the other side of this ginormous mountain range should be the Blighted Circle. You see what looks like a small town up ahead. You weave your way through rusted cars that are just left abandoned on the road. And you approach a town. You can see that there is an old sign. And yeah. Pretty comfortable reading this. This is the town of Pytear welcomes you to a population of 2,500. Obviously, no longer a population of 2,500, but that's what the sign says back from before the sprouting happened. Buildings are a mixture of 3-4-story buildings, a couple of small houses, and you make your way along this street. Could you make a spot hidden for me, please?
Oh, yeah, 28. 28 out of 51, so that's a success.
Fantastic. You notice that as you begin to make your way through this town, you hear the sounds of ticking far off in the distance, and it's probably a plant, but it's some distance off and going in the wrong direction. You can just hear that. And you're very carefully watching out for signs of plants and creatures that should not be, or in fact even people. This town is oddly deserted from what you were expected, what you were prepared for. Some people, but there seems to be no one. And you notice that on the sides of the buildings, that the sides of the buildings have been spray painted, which is not unusual. Graffiti is not an unusual thing. But you see these symbols repeating more frequently than they're just random graffiti. You see what looks like semicircles or sickles with a little shape hanging off of one of the points, and they're usually either blue or purple in colour. You also notice on your spot hidden that there is a sign for a campground up ahead. It's that little triangle shape with a little person inside it that says campground. And from what you had heard about this town, that's where most of the people had congregated that were living here in this town. At least those who survived it anyway. Either at the campground or in the main building at the campground. Mm-hmm. The sun is beginning to set, like quite rapidly at this time of year, and it has that like fine drizzle in the air. It's just kind of dark and it's really kind of damp, and it's that drizzle that if you stay out much longer, you're probably going to get saturated to the skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you spot as you look around.
I think Sully, like, is looking over the graffiti. Has he seen this symbol before? Or...
Yes. You've seen this, like, weird sickle symbol before. You've seen leaves that have exactly the same shape, and you know that they're always super sharp and, like, kind of dangerous. And you have used those, like, leaves as weapons on the odd occasion that you've had to. But you also know that this kind of weird symbol that has something, like... a shape or a drip coming from one of its points, you know that that's often the mark of, like, a cult.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, like, I think Sully's looking at it just going, like, oh, fucking cultists.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are awful people. You've come across folks who had magic and it's, you know, they're kind of okay-ish, but they're very insular. They kind of keep to themselves.
Yeah, no, I think Sully just doesn't like cultists because they are innately resistant to change. They have found a weird way that they're going to live their lives, and they refuse to, like, build walls that are needed or, like, dig a well. Like, they're like, no, we have magic. We can do these things ourselves. And it's like, no, you need to hoard some fucking medicinal herbs. And it's like, no, we got magic. It's like, it's not going to work always. So... No, Sully just doesn't like cultists in general. What did you say the name of the town was? Pattaya?
Pattaya.
And I think Sully, like, puts in his head, like, Pattaya, maybe worth scavenging at some point. Seems like the cultists have kept most people out, but it doesn't look like they've done a lot of work. So this place may be worth returning to. It's just a little mental note.
Yeah, that's probably fairly accurate. Yeah.
And he's going to start heading towards the campgrounds. I think Sully moves with the stride of a man with a purpose. Doesn't waste a lot of time. And I'm imagining he's traveling with, like, how do I phrase this? He's traveling with a backpack that would make many people jealous. It's like a one of those backpacks with, like, structural beams in them. And it's clearly it used to be filled to the brim until he had to trade away, like, a bunch of shit to get the information he needed. But, like, it is one of those, like this is an industrial fucking backpack. This is not something you find lying around. This is, like, for cross-country hiking. And he's just moving, like, with purpose. It doesn't make almost any noise when he moves, aside from, like, fabric rubbing together. Everything's tied down properly. And he's going to start towards the camping ground.
Yeah. You make your way over towards where the camping ground is. You follow the little signs and you find that kind of in the middle of this concrete town that is covered in vines and plants. And you do quite often see the blue vine and purple leafed plant around a lot. But that's just usually an indication of something weird up ahead. And you would know this as just a marker to yourself, like, yeah, Zalata's Grace usually means there's some sort of weird happening in this area.
It's got cultists,
but you don't
to be expected.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of goes hand in hand with, like, yeah, it's a warning. It could also be a blessing. Like, there's weird ahead. Take what you mean from it. So yeah, you kind of see that around, and as you approach the area where it's cleared out, you see a building. In the middle of some cleared area. You can see the grass has grown quite high. But what you really spot is on top of this building that's in the middle of the campground. It's a one-story building. You would know from experience that quite often in these campgrounds, there are these, like, central hub buildings that have, like, facilities and places to eat and cook and all that good stuff, if you can get power to it and if there's water running, which is just not a thing anymore. You notice that on top of this building, there appears to be 20, 30 people in this rain. And they are standing on top of the building in what looks like a couple of circles. You can see that each of them aren't wearing anything at all. They're all completely naked, or sky clad, as it's often called. You can see that they have their hands thrown to the sky and that they seem to be chanting, and you can hear a little bit of the chanting, but not enough unless you're intently trying to listen to what they're doing. You notice that as they chant and speak, and if you decide whether you are getting closer or not, you see a faint reddish-blue glow appearing in the middle of their circle.
I think Sully has learned enough about rituals and cultists and the weird to stay away when people are focused. So I think, like, he gets to the, like, kind of, like, when he is able to, like, make out, like, 20 naked people and not just something on top of the roof, is when he kind of, like, moves to the side and finds himself, like, a fence or something to lean against. And he's just going to take stock of the situation. Like, does he need to not talk to them, i.e. not get any food and water and information and maybe trade, which would be a very shameful thing to have to do, but... Like, if that's what he needs to do, that needs shameful. That's another word. It would be a shame if that was the situation. So he's going to try to see if it looks like they're going to stop anytime soon.
The moment you kind of lean up against this fence that's kind of at the edge of the campground, there is a crack of lightning just at that perfect moment when you lean against the wood. And it strikes in the very center of this glow that they had been creating. You hear, more accurately, one man screaming at the edge. You can see that he suddenly turns, runs to the edge of the roof, grabs something, throw it over his head, and just jump and yeet himself off the side of this building. And he runs. He runs in the other direction, and you see another person. You see that he, too, just begins to freak out as this glow becomes brighter and bigger, and you see this large grey root coming through this glow at exactly the point where the lightning struck. And you hear some of them yelling and screaming at the non-believers to return. But the other man also too jumps off the roof and runs. He doesn't even bother collecting a robe. This dark grey root that comes through gets bigger and bigger. And then the light dims and there is this large grey thing that slowly begins to morph and change. It gets bigger and taller. It creates what looks like two very large legs, a torso, very, very wide, arms that are long and thick like tree trunks. And you see this head shape forming, and even from such a distance, you could probably tell this thing is like maybe 20 foot tall. It is massive. But what strikes you, other than the crazy thing that you have just seen, is that its face is like a mirror. You can see all of the people reflected in it. And you see it lift one of its giant arms, swing forward, and you see half a dozen of these cultists go flying through the air and land in the middle of the camping ground. What do you want to do?
Sully is starting to like back up slowly. Can't believe his fucking luck with these goddamn cultists. He's taking stock of his inventory. He believes that he has a shotgun with him. He believes he has enough shells to take down the cultists, but this thing is clearly not human. He has some rock salt bullets, shells, so he should be able to deal with smaller plants, but this thing is huge. He's never seen anything like this, I'm assuming.
Nope. Normally I'd have you do a sanity check, but this is a backstory flashback, so I'm not going to make you do that. It seems irrelevant.
Sully's just kind of backing up. He's not taking his eyes off the thing, because if it at any point seems to be advancing towards him, he needs to start running. But if it doesn't care about him, then just moving away usually is enough for these plants.
As you're kind of like taking stock of yourself and like beginning to like do a little bit of a backup, you notice that the remaining cultists on the roof just kind of like spread out to create a new circle, and they link hands, and you hear the chanting begin once again. You see a giant arm of this creature just lift and begin to slam down, but the second it hits the ground and you see some of them like jump up in the air just literally through bounce, the ceiling collapses underneath them all and they just fall through the building, and you see three strikes of lightning go off in a kind of a circular pattern around where they were standing. And then you notice that the walls and the roof that remains are slowly turning transparent. that they're slowly turning into this transparentness, and you can see inside the building as the walls begin to turn transparent and see-through, and you can see that there are see-through beings and creatures. Oh, no, they're people, but they seem to be no longer moving. They're not screaming, they're not twisting, they're not shouting. You can't hear anything. The only thing you can see through this transparent mess ahead of you is that giant creature finally standing up and kind of looking around where the people had run and where the people had fallen. And this transparentness continues out across the ground, except now it's this kind of white, frosty color that slowly begins to creep out from the building.
If the creature seems to be looking for people, I think Sully takes the hint to try to duck behind literally anything to not be noticeable. He probably takes his backpack off himself, knowing that abandoning the backpack is better than dying.
Yeah. Could you take a stealth check for me, please?
Yes. I don't believe I'm good at those.
I hope you're not.
Hey. Nope, that's 86 for not 20, so a complete failure.
Ooh, yeah, like you try to like hide behind the fence, the wood thing that you were leaning on. It's just like those little like wooden like stakes in the ground with like a little bit linking between them. That there's nowhere for you to hide, and as you kind of like, look around, you look back, you see that the creature is kind of stepping over the edge of the building as it's standing up properly, and it begins to look around and it spots the cultists that have been thrown off the roof, and you can hear them screaming and crying as they're trying to crawl away, and you see it spots them and it spots you, and it takes a few steps between you and it decides to go for the horde that is laying on the ground. But you notice this whiteness that is spreading across the ground. When it touches an object that isn't nature-based, it turns them transparent. Old cars, old tents go transparent, people go transparent, but the ground itself is turning white. And as you see this creature making its way over to the others, you see this whiteness on the ground finally touch the leg of one of the cultists. You hear them screaming long and protracted as their entire body goes completely transparent, and then they stop moving completely, and the whiteness keeps spreading on the ground.
I think Sully's booking it at this point.
Smart. You turn on your heel and you run back through the town as fast as you can. Are you looking over your shoulder?
Has to. If you don't know what's chasing you, you can't dodge it.
As you look back over your shoulder, you see this giant creature with the mirror face begin to pick up the transparent things and throw them back in the pile towards where the rest of them are, into where that building is, and very neatly throws them. You see that it's kind of like looking around, but I'm going to say you do manage to like maybe dodge its gaze as you see it looking around, and it begins to tramp off in a slightly different direction. But the whiteness on the ground continues to spread, and you realize you don't know if you can outrun this. What do you want to do?
I think the weird transparency is going to catch up with me.
You have a strong feeling that it may catch up to you if you're not careful.
Am I running up a road?
Yes.
Sully's going to keep running, but as soon as he passes a car, he's going to chuck his backpack into the car, make a mental note where that car is, and then he's going to keep sprinting. But this time he's not, like, running. He is, like, abandoned all hope of running kind of thing. The kind of running you haven't done since a scary dog was chasing you when you were 12, kind of running. The fear for your life running.
Yeah, you can definitely make note. Yeah, there was this car. It's slightly set aside from the others, kind of on the side of the road. Three wheels are missing, but one of them is definitely there. You can make that very quick note, throw it through the broken window and run, increasing your move for sure. And you think like, yeah, it is a little distance behind, but perhaps now you're running at the same speed of it, and it just seems to keep growing. This area is growing behind you as you keep running. And then ahead in the distance, you hear a rumbling sound. A sound that you don't hear very often. It sounds like an engine.
I think Sully's trying to run towards it. If it's any kind of human civilization, that's better than the planets.
As you keep running, You see, like, the dimmest of lights in front of you that suddenly gets much, much brighter and much, much closer to you. And you realize that it is what looks like a very small, what looks like a motorbike. It's not particularly big. It's like a dirt bike, a cross bike, motorbike. And you see that there is a man on there. He's wearing what looks like a cowboy hat and a duster. And he just pulls up. He swings the bike around and tells you, basically, in no uncertain terms, get the fuck on.
But yeah, Sully was waving at him, and as soon as he stops the bike, Sully's getting on. He's saying, like, get the fuck on. Sully's screaming, go, 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 kinda.
Yep. He goes, he opens the throttle, and this thing just goes. You don't think, with your weight plus his on such a small bike, this bike should be going that fast. Or it might be that it's such a dangerous, tight-knit area, it feels faster than it is, but this bike is going very fast, and probably within about 5 or 6 minutes at full throttle, you realize that you can't see the whiteness on the ground behind you. And the gentleman, like, very slowly, like, takes it off the throttle until it's a little bit more reasonable. And then probably about 20 minutes later, you finally hear the clunk, clunk, clunk of the engine as the fuel finally runs out.
So he gets ready to, like, brace himself for the stop of the bike.
Yeah, it's very, like, when you know the fuel is going out, it's fairly easy to be able to pull over and stop. There's, like, no real, like, oh, crap, and we're dead.
Yeah.
It's a very, very gentle dropping of the engine, and he just kind of, like, stops the bike, and it's like,
get off.
Thank you for stopping for me.
And Sully's going to get off.
Do you know what that was?
Yeah.
And he kind of, like, leans the bike up against, like, one of, like, what looks like a car. It's maybe salvageable. Who knows? It looks like a slightly better-looking car. And he turns and looks at you, and he lifts his cowboy up a hat up a little bit. And you recognize him as a man you've met a couple of times on the road. He helped you get information about where Vivaldi is. You recognize this man as Roland. He's just a guy who wanders around, and most people have interacted with him in one way or the other. And yeah, you recognize him fairly quickly.
Wait, Roland, what are you doing here?
I heard you were really headed out this way, and heard from someone else things were going down back there.
From who did he hear that things were going down here? What was that? I've never seen anything like that.
He kind of, like, reaches across the side of the bike, where you've seen that he actually just has, like, a like one of the bike panniers, and he takes that off, and he slings that on over his shoulders and offers you a bottle of water and some food as he basically starts making his way in a direction. You don't necessarily know where, you don't really know where you are, but he starts making his way with purpose. He says,
now that is a long and complicated answer, but to keep it brief, someone told me in a dream.
Ah, I thought you weren't like them.
Well, I am.
Makes no difference. You saved my life. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Not all magic is doom and gloom and summoning things from hellscapes, you know.
Sully looks behind him at where the town was in the, like, horizon, just like,
yeah, but you know what, I think you're smarter than that. I'm not gonna convince you of anything. It's a waste of time. I think it's a waste of time to tell you of the dangers of the weird. So
some of us don't always get a choice, my friend.
We always have a choice.
Yes. Whereas that is true, some of us have a gift that we cannot easily ignore.
You have a calling.
Sort of. But not the kind I'd want to answer.
People who have true callings usually don't want them. It's usually more of a burden. And usually causes more pain.
I have had, I think I've had my usual share of pain in this strange apocalyptic world we find ourselves in. I'm sorry that this is the path between you and Vivaldi.
There's a way around this town, right?
Not for a long time, my friend.
What do you mean?
The crystallizing will not stop for quite a while, and I must admit, I've never been brave enough to step on it, even when it's finished spreading.
So I can't go back?
We all have a choice. But for your sake, I would not. Perhaps you're braver than I, and you're willing to cross when it finishes spreading. But that is a choice you have to make. But while it spreads, we aren't fast enough to get around it.
How far is it gonna spread?
Depends on how many sacrifices.
20 to 30.
Lots more than the information I got.
That's how many people were there. How many people were a sacrifice? Maybe one. I heard 4 lightnings.
I admit I do not know how the ritual works.
Good.
Sully starts, like, patting himself down, like, taking stock of what he actually has in his pockets and what he has on him.
How far away from the next town are we?
3 to 4 days hike.
Do you have food and drink for both of us, or do I need to hunt?
He smiles, and he finishes drinking his water. He reaches over and takes yours. And you hear him mutter a few words, and you see his water bottle fill up to the same level as yours and return your water back to you.
Not all magic is bad, my friend. I have enough for us both.
Just remember. And Sully takes a swig of the water, like, not, like, acting like he doesn't care about the magic part. Like, just like, yeah, that just happened. Just
yeah.
Takes a swig.
Just remember, medicine is good for you when you're sick.
Of course. We should keep moving. At least tonight, if we can find another bike or vehicle, that'd be good. I did not see any on my admittedly rash decisions come after you.
Yes, I was about to ask, why did you come from me? I'm not angry, more confused that you chose, so. Most people have hard enough time keeping themselves alive. They don't,
Sully looks back at the bike.
Magic a vehicle into existence.
He's studying him for, like, reactions.
He smiles, and, like, you see him readjust his cowboy hat, and he says,
I have magic, but nothing like that. I know people who care about your continued existence. People who are a little bit like me, although I don't think they quite know it. Someone gave me info you are definitely headed in that direction, and since I told you that was the way to Vivaldi, guilt is one, and friendship is another.
I'm a single human being. We die by the hundreds every day. You helping me get to my grave would not have been your fault, but I appreciate it nonetheless. What group are you part of?
I will never be part of another group.
You said those like me. You're not part of, like, the remnants of the government I've heard about.
No.
And you see he suddenly looks, like, very uncomfortable.
I'll never return to the government. There are people who have callings like my own. Although they may not know it, there are a few of us.
Well, maybe you can tell me about some of them, so if I run into them on my travels, I can tell them that Roland's out there doing good.
Unless they allow me. No, Sully. There are people who look for us, the government included.
Never heard about your group. The collective has never hunted for you, have they?
Thankfully, no. They seem more interested in selling things and making good their lives.
Yeah. That seems to be the focus nowadays.
Yes. Enough talk. I need to focus on where we're going.
Lead the way. I won't be a burden on you longer than it takes to get to the town. I thank you, and I'm sorry I have nothing to give you in return, but one day when you meet me, I'll have something in my backpack for you.
One day, I'll take you up on that offer.
Sully's looking behind himself, like, thinking, like, oh, fuck, everything I had was in that goddamn backpack.
Hi, everyone. It's V here. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Sprouting. I think there's a few things that have been going on and a few things I can't really talk about right now, but I'm really excited for you guys to listen to the outcome of what's going on here. There's definitely things that they're discovering, and I'm very excited to be able to share that with them and with you guys, with the world. I want to say a big thank you to, first of all, we're going to start with our patrons. Continuing the, hey, thank you for helping us pull 70 plus names in the creation of this world. We're grouping everybody who's helped so far in the background somewhere in a little thank you section, and this is this bit. So I want to say thank you to Peregrine for the names November, Vassas, Tears, Gumpendorf and Reves, to Piverwind for the name Zalata, Ratstring for the name Ulim and Hakabath, to Rene Trop for the name Arenda, and Rikovitz for the name Saltthane, and a huge thank you to Chaos Brain Kathy for the name we pulled in this episode, which was Feyrana. So thank you all so much for that. Other than that, if you want to help the show out, just go tell people. We're still really new. Any of those things that will help people discover us, mostly it's you guys telling other people about our show. So if you could do that, we'd be eternally grateful. I think that's it. Have a good couple of days, weeks, months, and we'll see you next episode. Bye.
Hey, everybody, it's Aethod.
And V.
If you, like us, have been using Quest Portal and are interested in like getting a little bit interactive with the community and the makers behind it, I highly recommend you join their Discord server. On the server, you can find bug reports and feature additions where they ask people for feedback, ideas of like what to add, and also like little bugs that you run into. We've had really good experience with
them. Pretty
much
all the developers are on there, the CEO and the COO are on there, and a lot of their dev team are on there. When we have given feedback on features that we think should be improved or ideas that we think that would make the entire process nicer, they have implemented them or they have put them on the burner to be implemented in the future. So they're really good at responding to that. Like we mentioned, like, hey, it would be nice if we had
plus one, minus one to the sanity
button,
which was only on the luck to begin with for some reason.
A few weeks later, they implemented that. They're also really good at dealing with bugs. So when we put bugs up in like the bug channel, we're like, hey, we're having a problem with this feature. Someone from the Discord will kind of reach out to us and ask how they can help and what the problem is. We've had that a couple of times where we've had certain things not operate the way they're meant to. And like within a few hours, they've been fixed. And they're really good and really responsive on their Discord about that.
Yeah. And I've actually seen Gumi when somebody was looking to try to make customizable buttons. He genuinely just uploaded a quick video where he was just like, oh, here is exactly how you do it.
Yep.
Here's how, and it was like a new video. It wasn't something they had on their YouTube page. It was just him seeing somebody wanting to interact with their system and just going like, oh, we need a video for this.
Yeah, they're kind of really good at making those videos and helping folks out when they have questions or problems. And also, they're really good at keeping us updated on what it is and all the features that they have recently implemented. And I think it's roughly once a week or so, they'll just put a big post in on the Discord like, hey, these are the improvements we've made. Yeah. These are the things we're about to work on. So they're just like, they're really like clear in their communication.
I'm not surprised because like they've been really active with the tabletoping community in Iceland.
Yeah.
They've actually sponsored like a bunch of like small startup Icelandic podcasts.
Yeah, they're like really good at that. So like often like when we've gone into the office to use their recording facilities because they help us do that too when Aether and I are on the mainland, we don't have access to our recording equipment. They're just like come to the office and use the equipment, and they do that for a lot of like the Icelandic role playing groups and they lend them equipment and help and like whatever it is they need to get going, and they're doing the same for us too. So it's very rare, I think, to come across a virtual tabletop team that actually are this involved in the local community.
Yeah, so if you are using Quest Portal and want to get in with the community, go join their Discord, which you can find on their website. And if you are like running into bugs or have features that you would love to recommend, join the Discord and tell the COO and COO all about it.
I think that's probably it for us. Go check out the Discord, go check out Quest Pool, and you'll find all the links in the episode description below.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.